This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Got 8 dead dolphins on the coast of New Jersey, which is a heartbreaking situation happening right in our backyard. We have the looming indictment of President Trump, and we have millions and millions of dollars of COVID relief funds that were never actually spent. How do we get to this place today? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. By the way, don't forget our big Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon is coming up on Friday. And I'm very, very excited about that too, because we are going to have a great time together. And it's going to be like a reunion, basically. A lot of friends, a lot of good people showing up, and you and me and Dawn and Greg and everybody's going to be together. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you stop by for that this coming Friday. Please do indeed. Patrick Hughes is president and founder of the National Opportunity Project. Patrick, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. A new report released today by the National Opportunity Project shows hundreds of millions of dollars in federal COVID relief intended for disadvantaged school students has failed to reach them. First of all, tell us about the National Opportunity Project and the great work you do over there.
Well, thank you so much. National Opportunity Project is a 501c3 charity. We do a lot of research and activism on national issues of import to the public, including the report that we just did here, Rich, on, you know, all this money, COVID relief money that was supposed to go to private school children, many of whom, most of whom are from, you know, disadvantaged backgrounds, minority backgrounds, and how this money didn't get to them. And you're talking about huge amounts of money, Rich, $736 million or more dollars never got to them because the program wasn't designed correctly. And so we focus on issues like the one we're going to talk about today, the indoctrination of kids in schools from the left wing of the teachers unions and other aspects of public schools, and other issues of import for the country.
All right. Now, in this report that you've done here, hundreds of millions of dollars in federal COVID relief intended for disadvantaged students has failed to reach them. Obviously, we had COVID, and so much we were told about schools. We had to upgrade their HVAC systems. We had to make sure that the kids wouldn't die of COVID in schools and all of this. All this money was spent, and you point out, this report relied on public records requests, research, and direct communications with state education officials in all 50 states, and found at least $736 million across 27 states has been or is at risk of being diverted away from the country's youngest and most at-risk students. How did we get to this place?
So we got to that place, Rich. First of all, the public schools got billions upon billions upon billions of dollars more than the private schools. The private schools were allocated about $5.5 billion. We've identified, like you said, about $736 million. The problem was the funds were so restricted. They could only be used for sort of things that would help eradicate the disease, like separate classrooms or ventilation or PPE. And then when that money didn't get out to the private schools for those purposes, it would revert back to the governors of the states, and they could use it for pet projects that they want to use it on. And the problem here is as we know, looking in the rearview mirror, Rich, so much of the COVID policies, particularly as it related to kids in schools, were erroneous. There's so much lost learning. There are mental health issues as a result of that. And there's money out there that can get to these kids that can help them with tutoring, with technology, with mental health help. And instead, it's going back to the governors, and the governors are using it for their discretion. For example, in Pennsylvania, $300 million was allocated for private schools. And, you know, we've, National Opportunity Project, we've researched that and we've FOIA'd them and we've stayed on them. They haven't responded to us since summer as to what the where that money has gone. And they won't get back to us, they say, until the fall of this year on where that money has gone. Instead, Governor Shapiro has the right to think about how he would want to use it. And in different states, Alaska, teaching kids to play Minecraft. And I got Vax campaign in public schools in West Virginia, a diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative at state colleges in Oregon. This is where the governors put that money, not for math and reading for disadvantaged kids in private schools across the country while we're experiencing this massive COVID loss. Now, there's hope. In Illinois, we identified $46 million. We put pressure on the governor, and now that governor is going to put that $46 million to 560 private schools in the state of Illinois. That can be done in states all across the country to make sure the $736 million is reallocated to these kids so that they can make up for the learning loss that they suffered through no fault of their own.
Well, that is some hope. That's good. But I guess, you know, the question that I really have here, Patrick Hughes, is at any point, how did anyone think using money for this moonshot for equity or video game Minecraft to teach coding? How does anybody think any of this is actually have anything to do with COVID relief? I mean, why is the money not returned to the taxpayers? How is it okay for these government entities to turn around and use these funds that were clearly purposed for one thing to be used in such an egregious way?
Yeah, and so it's the flaw in the way that the legislation was crafted. It was done through political horse trading through a couple of different presidential administrations. The fact of the matter is the governors can use this money for anything sort of educated related. That's how you get Minecraft. They say it's kind of educated related. And so it was just poorly drafted legislation. And I think that happens quite a bit. What doesn't happen quite a bit, an opportunity where we identified all this money in 27 states, and there's an opportunity to get that money to children right now, which is why I'm grateful that you would have me on the show so that people can be made aware of this. And if their kids go to private schools or they know kids who are at private schools, they can contact the governor and say, look, we want this money. This money should be going to the private schools, not to some pet project that Governor Shapiro or other governors across the country would have.
And you, out of curiosity, how much money is New Jersey sitting on? Do you know?
I don't know, but I can tell you that Ohio has $51 million, Virginia has $68 million, and Washington has $41 million. That's a lot of money in those states, but I'm not sure about New Jersey. But there's a lot of money to go get in the various states.
I know that a number of legislators have spoken out about, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars of money just sitting there, all told in COVID relief money, and that's including school money, obviously, as well. Has any of the money that you know of, Patrick, been used to actually upgrade the ventilation system in schools or any of the other things that they told us would keep our kids safe from COVID? Not that I think any of that was necessary, but has any of that actually been used for that purpose?
I think the answer to that is yes, but imperfectly. And now that that sort of issue is over, and you look, like you just said, why would you need all of that? And you look back in the rearview mirror. Now that that issue is over, we realize that, you know, by and large, there's a lot of wasteful spending there, which is why making sure the rest of it isn't so wastefully spent. But there were $5.5 billion. We've uncovered $736 million. So a bunch of money didn't get out. We haven't been able to locate exactly how well they did. My guess is not so great. I think some governors did better than others. Some states did better than others. Interestingly, some Republican governors did poorly. Some Democratic governors did poorly. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag.
You know, as I think about all this, too, and the waste in all this, I have to think the teachers' unions, when they said, we are not going to allow classrooms to be opened again until we get this money, it always felt to me, Patrick, like this was a shakedown. You know what I mean? Here's the teachers' unions, and they know that they need to get money for their districts. They know they need to get money for their states. And they were really controlling so much back then, saying, we can't have our teachers back in the classroom. and then all of a sudden this money shows up, and then suddenly schools are safe. All of a sudden, they're just magically safe.
Yeah, I remember being in an organization previously where we had to sue the Chicago Teachers Union twice to try to get them to go back to the classrooms during COVID, even though it had been determined that there was no reason for them not to be there. And it's for the exact reasons you said. And it's not just teachers unions, although they are among the worst. There are all sorts of people at the trough who use COVID as an excuse for lots of things. Funding for their pet projects, changing the way we vote, all sorts of different things that they use COVID as a predicate for, sort of as pretext for. And the teachers unions, as you pointed out, are first among them. And, you know, and again, looking back, you can see how egregious so many of these policies are. And that's why it's important that if there's something we still can do, with, like we can with the $736 million, we try to do it, because kids, especially underprivileged kids, minority kids, were damaged by COVID policy, damaged by the policies of the teachers' unions. And at least for the kids that are in private schools now, we can help get them money that can help them get back on the path to being educated in the way they should have. And how important is that, Rich, for us to educate the next generation of students so that our country is better off than it certainly is now sometime in the future?
Yeah, and I mean, as you know, we talk about the teachers' unions, but you're talking in this report really about private and religious schools, independent schools where they probably don't even have unions. So this educational assistance for non-public schools program, this lifeline for these kind of schools, serving largely low-income students most affected by COVID, $5.5 billion in funds. You say it, you know, it was unclear at best and seriously flawed, the guidance for the states. And you know, so I think about all this, and I always wonder in life, I mean, are there ever any consequences for any of the officials who misallocate these funds? And I know that that's not your goal here. Your goal is to figure out how we can get the money to the kids in need. And we're talking about $736 million here, which is a lot of money, obviously. But are there ever any ramifications for some official in a school somewhere who turns around and says, I'm actually going to use this for like what West Virginia did, $600,000 for awards to 12 public schools that won a statewide I Got Vaxxed competition, which has nothing to do with making the physical school building safe from COVID?
Yeah, I think that a lot of that work gets done at the local level. And you've seen across the country, and we saw this, if you remember, in Loudoun County and in other places, at the school board level. Now we're talking about public schools, which is different than our project. But at the school board level, I think you see parents more engaged and more active than they ever were before. And I think that's because they saw sort of through the looking glass as to what their educational opportunities were for their kids, who was running the schools, what that looked like over Zoom, the kind of things that they were doing to the kids and the things that they were implementing. So I think the way to, you know, have some sort of ramification to these bad actors is at the local level, and you put new people in to run the schools at the public school level. At the private school level, it's get these kids as much funding as we can, because they're being taught at private schools far away from the grip of the teachers' unions.
Yeah, well said. Patrick Hughes, president and founder of the National Opportunity Project, thanks for your great work on this. We have to stay on top of this for sure. I appreciate coming on the show today.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.